Podcast 87, Jesus Enters Jerusalem in Triumph. The gospel reading for this podcast is Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. All four gospels record the event known to us today as Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So let's take a closer look at this event and examine what happened that day. Firstly, the geography of the event is pretty simple. At the beginning of this story, Jesus and his disciples are approaching Jerusalem, having healed blind Bartimaeus in Jericho. They are near the villages of Bethphage and Bethany, about 2 to 3 kilometers from the Temple Mount. So Jesus is very close to the city at the start of this story. Jesus is probably in Bethany at the point where he sends two of his disciples ahead to Bethphage to requisition a colt, a young donkey, for Jesus to ride on. In the culture of Jesus' time, a major religious or political figure could request the use of livestock from anyone for a specific purpose. This custom was known as angaria. It is reasonable to suggest, by the lack of protest about this requisition of a colt, that Jesus or one of his disciples had made this arrangement in advance. So this is part of the planning that Jesus has deliberately set in motion for this week, not just a spontaneous or random event. Why did Jesus not simply walk into Jerusalem? Surely the crowds would still have acclaimed him. I think that Jesus deliberately chose this means of transport because it was the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy of Zechariah. Zechariah 9 verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The people, and especially the scribes and Pharisees and teachers of the law, would have been well aware of this prophecy in Zechariah. The Pharisees particularly, I think, would have been spitting tacks that Jesus deliberately chose to enter Jerusalem in a way that fulfills this prophecy of Zechariah. And that's part of the reason the crowds gathered there for Passover give him such a rapturous reception. So Jesus' entry into Jerusalem occurs 6 days before the Passover. On the same day, the high priests choose the Passover lamb to be sacrificed in the temple to celebrate the Passover. The Lamb of God comes to the temple, the place of sacrifice, and offers himself to be the ultimate Passover sacrifice. In terms of crowds, remember Passover was one of the main festivals of the Jewish year. Jerusalem's normal resident population of that time would have been around 20 to 30,000 people approximately. But during Passover, the city population would have had a massive influx of pilgrims and temporary visitors. Some scholars estimate an additional 150,000 people would come into Jerusalem for the Passover. It would be like Hamilton hosting an All Black rugby test and having more than 500,000 extra people flood into the city. It is because of the presence of this huge crowd and the potential for riot and revolt that Pontius Pilate, the procurator, has left his normal city of residence on the coast of the Mediterranean at Caesarea Maritima and travelled to Jerusalem with a contingent of troops. History records that on the same day that Jesus entered Jerusalem from the eastern side of the city, Pilate was entering Jerusalem with a column of Roman soldiers from the western side of the city. This was standard practice for the Roman governor to come to Jerusalem and to bring extra troops to the city for the great Jewish festivals, because of the possibility of riots and unrest due to the large numbers of people. So Pilate enters Jerusalem on the western side of the city on a magnificent horse, wearing armor with the full military might of the Roman Empire accompanying him. and Pilate's procession not only displays imperial power, but also Roman imperial theology. According to Roman theology, the emperor was not only the ruler of the Roman Empire, but a divine being, a god in his own right. For Rome's Jewish subjects, this procession not only reminds them of their status as an occupied people, occupied by an invader, but also that their conquerors have brought with them a rival theology completely at odds with the Jewish faith. So on the eastern side of the city, in a very different procession, Jesus enters Jerusalem, seated on a colt, a young mule, a symbol of peace. People threw cloaks and branches in front of the colt he is riding to create a kind of red, impromptu red carpet. John's Gospel adds the details that they took palm branches and waved them. Mark and Luke note that the disciples cry out praise, and they're quoting scripture when they do it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, is a quote from Psalm 118. The crowd also call Hosanna, from the Hebrew phrase Hoshiana. And this phrase Hoshiana changed meaning. It used to mean, please save me. But instead it became a shout of hope. And so it gradually came to mean salvation. Salvation has come. The use of palm branches by the crowd is also significant. Palm branches were used on the coins of the Maccabees period as a symbol of a free, independent, sovereign Jewish state of Israel, able to worship at its own temple without restriction or hindrance. When the crowd strip palm branches off the surrounding trees and shout, Hosanna in the highest heaven, this is not just religious fervor. They are deliberately implying by these actions that they view Jesus as the promised Messiah, who will set the nation of Israel free from the Roman occupation and return the nation to the gloriously independent days of the Maccabees, which was one of the golden ages of Israel nearly 200 years previously. As Jesus rides into Jerusalem, he is proclaimed as king by the crowds. They say, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord," which again is another quote from Psalm 118. With hindsight, we can note that, ironically, the sign that will be placed over Jesus' head as he hangs on the cross in 6 days' time will read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." So just note that the crowd shouting for Jesus and proclaiming him as king on Palm Sunday are probably not mostly the same people who will be calling for his death on Good Friday. We need to remember that a relatively small number of the pilgrim crowd would have known in any way who Jesus was, maybe Galileans at the festival and others who had heard of Jesus' reputation. For example, the recent raising of Lazarus from the dead would have increased his reputation among people. But these people were probably quite a small proportion of the total number of pilgrims in Jerusalem at the time. The people that call for Jesus' death in front of Pilate 6 days later would only be those aligned with the interests of the chief priests and Pharisees, basically a rent-a-crowd group persuaded by the chief priests and Pharisees to shout what they had been told to shout and help pressure Pilate into executing Jesus. For myself, this story of Palm Sunday raises several points relating to my own walk of faith. Firstly, you can want something so badly, so passionately, and so fervently that it blinds you to what God is really doing. Secondly, how good am I at coping when God upsets my expectations? And thirdly, like the disciples, I don't always understand what God is doing, but I must keep trusting him. Trust and faith. That has been one of the clear messages I've been hearing from God this year. This is the way we have to proceed on our collective journey of faith as a community of faith, trusting in a faithful God.